The referee is going to bring an end to the game. Manchester United are at Wembley in the semi-final of the FA Cup. It just wasn't to be for Liverpool. It's heartache. Harvey Elliott scored a good goal in extra time, but then a mistake by Darwin Nunez, give possession away in his own half. McTominay released Rashford for 3-3, and then when we have a corner, we're trying to get the winner. To be fair to Virgil van Dijk, that's brilliant captaincy. The first player he's gone for is Nunez, who's almost in tears there, and grabbing him and hugging him and saying, hey, get your heads up, we've still got a lot to play for this season. United in front through McTominay, of course. Then Liverpool respond brilliantly at the end of the first half. McAllister gets us level. Then Mohamed Salah makes it 2-1. We have chances in the second half. We waste chances. And then 4 minutes to go. Chance, and United substitute Anthony curls into the back of the net. Then Harvey Elliott nearly wins it. Hits the post. Rashford, last kick of normal time. Clean through, missed it. Extra time. Harvey Elliott scores. Rashford equalises. And right at the end of the game, in the end, we have a corner. Elliott and Endo leave it for each other. Garnacho breaks. Diallo, the substitute, gets the winner, then is sent off for a second yellow for taking his shirt off. United through to the semi-finals. We've still got a lot to play for. Tough to take, it hurts. United 4, Liverpool 3.
Welcome along to The Reaction. I'm Steve Hothersall, and we're reflecting on Liverpool's FA Cup quarter-final clash with Manchester United. It was a thriller, but heartbreaking. United winning it late on, extra time, 4-3. We'll bring you the thoughts of Jurgen Klopp, as well as our pundits, Gary Gillespie and Sammy Lee. First, though, to our reporter, Mark Benstead, at Old Trafford, with former Reds midfielder, David Thompson.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, we got the entertainment we hoped for, but not the result, maybe, that we all anticipated we might end up with. David Thompson's back with me, pitch side here at Old Trafford. Tom, what do you make of what we saw? Ultimately, a proper cup tie. We've just come out on the wrong end of it.
Yeah, I think on another day, we come away with a win, but it was just a real ding-dong FA Cup final, like you said. I'm lost for words, really. We had so many chances in the second half. We dominated the possession, and I think up until about 78, 79 minutes until Ten Hag made the substitutions. Looked like it reinvigorated them. We looked like a little bit tired, a little bit sloppy in the final third. But make no bones about it, it was a proper FA Cup tie. For once, Erik Ten Hag took the shackles off Man United. They looked like they went out there and enjoyed themselves. You know, still looked a bit lost for that half an hour in the second half, but, you know, the last 10 minutes of that game and the extra time, they looked like the rest in midweek had done them the world of good. And I think, you know, ultimately we looked like we had some tired legs out there, particularly Darwin Nunez at the end.
We spoke pretty much about the fact we thought Man United might counter-attack, as they tend to do, but didn't do that today. But again, that probably was down to the fact of just how much was riding on today for them, I guess.
Well, I think second half they did play the counter-attacking style. They had no choice because, you know, Liverpool dominated the possession. It was easy at times, and Man United looked frustrated up until the substitutions, you know, when they... And the substitutions, I wouldn't say that they absolutely changed the game. What they did is they affected the balance of play. We dropped deeper. You know, we had some tired legs out there, and ultimately the ball fell for them in the box. And, you know, even when we get back to 3-2, you know, we had chances to go again, and just a little bit wasteful. But, you know, the lads can be proud of themselves there. They had a right go. It was a proper FA Cup tie, like we said, and just disappointed we finished on the wrong end of the result. On another day, we go through to the next round.
What are these games like to play in when it is so helter-skelter and neither team has full control of it, and you know that it could keep ticking over to extra time, penalties could be down the line?
Well, I think when you were watching the game, as a neutral, you couldn't say which way it was going to go. You always felt like Man United were in the game, always felt like they were dangerous on the counter-attack, particularly Garnacho, who's arguably been United's best player this season. He was dangerous. He was dangerous when he was up against Gomez and up against Bradley. And I think ultimately one of the goals came from the last goal there, Garnacho free, and I can't remember the kid's name at the end.
Ahmed Diallo.
Yes. And, you know, it took an eternity to get in the back of the net. And, you know, 2v1 there with Bradley at the end, it was a tricky situation. He almost put put him off balance. But you can't argue with that. It was a proper FA Cup tie. There was loads of energy. There was loads of chances. It was end to end. It's just one of them days you come off on the wrong end of it.
You wonder in a situation like this what it does for the rest of the season. Does it derail momentum? I don't know if you'll be able to hear that in the studio, but the 9,000 Liverpool fans in full voice over to the far end of the stadium still obviously have to stay in a game like this for a little while before they can go and get the coaches home, etc. If the players are hearing this, that's all the motivation they need to pick themselves up and go again after the international break.
Oh, absolutely. They can be proud of themselves. And like we said before, you know, it's just... I think that 3 or 4 day rest wasn't enough. You know, Man United didn't play until last week against Everton. So they've had, you know, them extra few days, they make a difference. And they looked like they made a difference today. And also, you know, our squad's been stretched a little bit too much this season. And it looked like it just took its toll today. But the lads can be proud of themselves. This is not a derailment. This is another chance to go and concentrate on, you know, the European competition. They've got time to rest up now in the international break. And we concentrate on the league. You know, every game's going to be a cup final from now till the end of the season. So it may be a blessing.
Yeah. OK, Tom, we'll let you get back inside. Yeah, frustrating today, but it does not derail it. And as David's just said, plenty still to play for a chance to regroup during the break. And also, as Jurgen touched on ahead of this game, maybe get some more bodies back fit. And that could really help for the running in the remaining competitions.
So drama off the scales at Old Trafford, but it's Manchester United who win the FA Cup quarter-final in the last minute of extra time in a game which ebbed and flowed. It's pretty hard, almost impossible to sum up what we've just seen, Gary Gillespie and Sammy Lee. What do we think, Gary?
Oh, it's gut-wrenching, isn't it? Everybody really put a real shift in there. A couple of elementary mistakes that cost us dearly at the end. But in saying that, the lads absolutely gave... absolutely everything, and as I said, like, there was a lot of players that were just out on their feet there, had nothing really left to give, and as I said in commentary, at times when you have like a tired legs, you have tired minds, and you make elementary mistakes, and that's exactly what happened, and that's why we got punished at the end. We had a little purple spell in the second half where we really were on top, and we really needed to capitalise on that. We didn't do that, and we always allowed Manchester United to be in the game. And if you do that with Manchester United, especially here at Old Trafford, the chances are that they're going to do something and something might happen, and that's exactly what happened.
You do have to say, Sammy, that this wasn't a Manchester United we were expecting. I don't know whether this goes down as their best performance of the season, but they looked devastating on the attack with pace at times. Could have had other goals in the 90 minutes. This was a good performance from the home side.
But we did say before the game, didn't we, that they've been inconsistent. They can blow hot and cold. We hoped that today they wouldn't blow hot, but they did. You know, and also what we were aware of, and as Gary said, we got caught a little bit on the counter, which is always going to be an issue, you know, with their pace, but you know, as we were pushing forward. I also agree with Gary, the fact that I think we, at certain times, crucial times, just made the wrong decisions, particularly when we, you know, we were on top in the second half at normal time, you know, just making that final pass, that final decision, when we outnumbered them on many occasions, and it just, it cost us in the end. And I'm devastated for everybody at the football club, the fans and everybody, you know, because as Gary said again, you know, you couldn't ask for anything more out of these players. You know, a lot of them were running on empty. Terrific shift he put in.
Gary, this wasn't played out in the way which we see Manchester United-Liverpool games in the Premier League, was it?
Well, they started, like, quite... When I say quite a high press, they put, like, quite a lot of pressure on their back four, which allowed the likes of Szoboszlai, especially in the first 45 minutes. I thought he had an awful lot of space, but Liverpool just couldn't get the ball to him often enough. And hence the reason why we had this kind of end-to-end affair. You know, it was you attack, we'll attack, you attack, we'll attack. And that's not the way that Liverpool want to go and approach games. They want to have a modicum of, like, possession so they can control the game. They didn't do that in the first half. As I say, second half, I think it, like early on, it was better. We managed to like play ourselves into the game and have that modicum of like management of the game. But then, you know, as I say, Manchester United, they were always in the game and they were always a threat. And I think that will bear out by the chances that maybe we will see, obviously in Match of the Day after later on, that you see that they had quite a few opportunities themselves, Manchester United. But had we made the right decisions at the right time, I think the game would have been beyond them.
Well, I think as a coach, Steve, I think what you don't want the game to be as open as what it was. You know, it was, as you said, like a basketball game, end to end. You have a go, we'll have a kick. You have a counter, we'll have a counter. You know, Liverpool don't want that. Liverpool, want, as you said, you want to control games more for longer periods within the game. And when we did, you know, we made better decisions and we looked better. But once again, we didn't quite make that final right decision, which could have killed them off.
It took them some time to get there, though, didn't it? You'd have to say United were the better team for the first 40 minutes, and then all of a sudden Liverpool grab two goals and go in ahead at the break.
That's football. as football, yeah. Steve, you know, and as you say to you know, mm-hmm. it was a period of like however many minutes the whole game was, it ebbed and flowed. You know, went from one end to the other. And I think, as I say, there's a lot of disappointments. One is the result, obviously, but the mere fact that we had the game, we should have killed them off, should have been more clinical, but we allowed them to stay in the game, and they were always going to be dangerous on the counter-attack, as they proved.
OK, let's get through some of the goals then. So United go ahead after 10 minutes. McTominay seems to have a bit of a habit of scoring those goals, Gary.
Well, the irony is McTominay scores the first goal, and he pops up probably like in the last 2 minutes of the game. And in between that, I don't think I ever mentioned him in commentary. You never see him. But that's the kind of threat he possesses. He's been good this season at making these runs into the box. I think his return from goals-wise is his best ever at Manchester United. But they were kind of on top at that time. I think they were causing us problems going down the left-hand side. And certainly picking little pockets of space. I thought Wan-Bissaka did exceptionally well. The combination with him and Marcus Rashford created a little bit of like an overlap on the left-hand side. And McTominay, as I say, that midfield run from late into the 18-yard box always causes you problems. And it was a simple tap-in in the end, but you've got to be there to like take advantage of it.
And all credit to our keeper at that time, because he kept us in the game with one fantastic save from McTominay's second attempt. He made three, four fantastic saves throughout the game, Keller. And testament to how much he's improved.
Yeah, completely. Of course, we had a goal ruled out. Endo, 37 minutes. Mo was just offside. I don't think there was a question about that, was there? But Liverpool perhaps used that as a bit of momentum. 6 minutes later, they do score through McAllister. But Kwanzaa's involved in this. And what a game he had.
Immense. I think the guy came on. And for me, I don't know what you agree, for me, he's man of the match. I thought he was excellent. Really was. There were a number of players you could give that to. But I thought he was immense throughout. And his forward contribution, pushing the ball forward, driving forward, created that chance for us to get the shot, which took a bit of a deflection, but thankfully ended up in the back of the net.
Well, it does. And then Liverpool are ahead. And you know, Mo, we said pre-match, Mo has this side over Manchester United. Well, that's 12 and 13 now. 2-1, all of a sudden, just the dimension, the feeling of the whole game's changed.
Oh, it's bonkers, the game of football, isn't it, at times? I think you look at like that first 45 minutes and you think, yes, Manchester United had a few opportunities. They scored the first goal, had a few opportunities, had they scored the second goal, then it would be extremely difficult for Liverpool. And then in the space of, 5 minutes, 10 minutes or something like that, bish bash bosh, it's like 2-1 and you're going into half time and like everybody's like absolutely like delighted. And I think Liverpool probably came out of the second half and thought, well, here we go again, like just like manage the game a little bit better, control it a little bit better, and then the game's ours. But as I say, they didn't capitalise on that spell in the second half when they were really well on top.
Why was it so hard for Jurgen to manage how the game was played and influence that? In terms of what you were saying before, how United had it their way and it became a stretched affair?
Well, I think for the very reason you said, the game was stretched. Yeah. The game was too stretched. I mean, between the units, there was far too much distance. And you know yourself, any coach, like say, your team block has to be tighter than that. But the game, the way it was ebbing and flowing, they couldn't get that compactness. And as a result, there was going to be chances either end. Mm. I think he sorted that out to a degree at half-time. You know, obviously we were buoyed by the fact we've gone in 2-1 up, and then we were in commanding because we were tighter as a tighter block then. But then once again that became stretched. We made the wrong decisions, as we mentioned before. Tired legs, a long week for the guys. Tired legs. The game got stretched and stretched and stretched, and as a result, chances went on by either end.
Is that things catching up on them? You know, tired minds. You just mentioned there, long week for the guys.
Well, listen, Liverpool are used to that. But listen, at the end of the day, everything takes an effect. You mentioned about being, if you're tired legs, you get tired minds. Mm. It can work the other way as well. If you've got tired minds, then your legs are tired. Mm. So listen, you don't want to use that as an excuse. Liverpool used to play in 3 games a week, and that's what they're going to be doing now to the end of the season because they're still in Europe. So I don't want to use that as an excuse. But as I say, because the game was so stretched, that puts more toil on your legs. You're not compact. You've got greater distances to run. It stands to sense that you're going to get tired and going to take more out of your legs and get more into the red zones.
I think we sort of felt we were going to creep over the line, didn't we, when it got to sort of 85 minutes, but then United had different ideas. Antony, so often the anti-hero, all of a sudden, steps forward in a big match, swivel, shot, 87 minutes. Did you feel like it was coming, Gary, or...?
Not really, no. I think Manchester United huffed and they puffed and like certainly the crowd were up and like they got the crowd behind them. But I thought we managed the game pretty well by then. But as I say, like the ball bounces about in the box, anything can happen. And in fairness to Anthony, he actually did take the goal pretty well, to be honest with you. He created that little bit of space. Could Endo maybe got a little bit tighter? Well, possibly, but at that stage of the game, you know, you're nitpicking a little bit. But all credit to Anthony, he took it well. The one place that he could put it was like the only place that he could score in that far corner. He did that, and then, you know, you're going into extra time and you're thinking, well, OK, regroup. We're still the better team. I still thought, like, from the start of the game, we are the better side. But show you the better side, and then that's what when we let ourselves down a little bit. Obviously, we got the goal from Harvey Elliott, the deflection, and then you're buoyant again and you're thinking, well, here we go, just see it out. But then, as I say, we got a little bit sloppy, a little bit tired.
And stretched.
And made the wrong decisions at the wrong time.
Bit of an irony in the sense that, of course, for Manchester United, Marcus Rashford missed some massive moments, didn't he, in the 90? Not least that one on 94-5, I can't remember the exact time.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the chances that he missed, he should have scored. But in saying that, I think they would have been given offside, like the majority of them.
Right.
So, yes, he missed chances, but would they have counted? Well, I'm not 100% sure they would have, to be quite honest with you. Especially the last one. He definitely looked offside in the last one.
Right, so that was just off. So into extra time it goes, as you say, people are flagging. Harvey Elliott, he got the biggest hug, and congratulations off Jurgen at that point. And again, I think we sort of felt the game was back in our grasp here.
I think so, Steve. And again, I think the stat came out is that it's the 23rd goal scored by one of our substitutes, which just shows you the impact that our subs have had when they've been introduced into the game. It shows you how well Jürgen has managed the game by bringing the substitutes on. So, yeah, I was really pleased for the boys as well. Fantastic. I think it took, again, a slight deflection off Eriksen. But listen, you know, if you don't have a pot, then you've got no chance. He's had a fantastic shot, took a deflection, ended up in the back of the goal. And I was pleased for Harvey.
The Rashford equaliser that followed, obviously, it was a result of tiredness. Nunes, you know, simply shouldn't have given the ball away.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I think it was Kevin Kelleher that actually threw the ball out to him. At that stage, I mean, why are you trying to hurry up the game? Why are you trying to really rush the game to throw the ball out to a guy that's like, he's spent, basically. He's out on his feet. No need really to throw it to him. Keep it in your hands, get your team up the pitch, get organised, get like settled, and kick it, if that's the case. I know like that's not always like what you want to do, but don't give it to a player that was playing centre forward and he's gone out to the left hand side to try and get a breather and like try and like stay away from the game, to be quite honest with you. And then he gets thrown the ball, he tries to cut inside, make a pass across his like back line, and it gets cut out. And then all of a sudden you've got like three or four Liverpool players totally taken out of the game, and you've got like midfield players and forwards running onto your back four. And you're asking for danger.
It's easy to say, you know, Steve, but Gerard Houllier used to have not many rules, but one who was no square passes in the middle of the park, because they're invariably dangerous. If they get intercepted, you're right back at our back four, if you like. So, but I wouldn't criticise the boy, because, as I said to you before, he gave in such a fantastic shift, and he was, as Gary said, he was out on his feet.
Is there a worse way to lose a game than it coming down to the final few minutes? And this is what happened in one of the biggest fixtures, Man United, Liverpool, but Diallo with the very finals. As a player, I mean, it's bad as fans, isn't it? But as a player, how does that feel?
Well, it's bad for the players as it is for the fans. We all feel it. We all feel it, you know. And I think, again, it came, I think we had our corner, wasn't it, you know. And once again, the Vitters on the break when we were tied, and then the bounce just didn't happen for Endo and for Harvey. And next thing, they're up against us and they've got a 2v1 against us. And I think Conor Bradley did ever so well to delay them, because we were outnumbered, did ever so well. But unfortunately, it just wasn't enough in the end.
On another occasion, the fact that Conor Bradley's delayed them that long, I think Liverpool would have got bodies back to give him a little bit of a hand, but because of like the timing of the incident late on in the game, I think everybody was, as I say.
And Diallo, as you mentioned in commentary, was fresh, wasn't
he? Yeah, he's just come on.
So you'd want to go anybody but him, because he had fresher legs than anybody on the pitch.
He got sent off after it as well, didn't he?
Because it was two yellow cards, wasn't it?
Because he took his shirt off, didn't he?
So you're scoring it. Well, I suppose in many ways, if Liverpool had equalised after that, he'd have had a lot to answer for, wouldn't he? But it didn't work out that way. On the balance of what we saw, how do you rate that result, Gary?
Well, it's disappointing. It's a real cruel blow, because I do think that we are a million miles better than Manchester United. But it's a cup tie. On any given day on a cup tie, anything can happen. And we saw that again this afternoon. Interesting that we've got to go back there, obviously, in the league as well. That'll be an interesting game. But I think overall, it was a cracking cup tie, really, when you think about it. There was chances at either end. From the neutral point of view, I think they would enjoy the game. But obviously, we are absolutely gutted because the result went against us.
Yeah, it wasn't quite working today. You said so many times pre-match, Sammy, inconsistency about Manchester United. And there you go in a nutshell. We weren't expecting that Manchester United. That they turned up with something that was way above the levels we would have hoped for.
Well, I think so, Steve. I think we've always got to be careful in this game of ours, you know what I mean? You know, because it's such a strange game, as we've said on many, many occasions. We did say that it's an inconsistent Man United throughout the football club, but inconsistencies means that you can blow hot and you can blow cold. We didn't want that to happen today. I think you've seen a different Manchester United than you've seen all season, you know, and that was the one I was worried about. I think we keep on saying that there are never any easy games between these two teams. Never. This was a different game for all the reasons we said before, and as a result, you get to the neutral and exciting game, if you like, but I'm just so devastated for everybody at the football club.
Just said again, it's highly unlikely we'll see that sort of game when they face each other again in a couple of weeks, is it, Gary?
Well, I once said that about Liverpool playing Newcastle.
It
was 4-3. And I remember saying on Radio Merseyside, I said, for the second game, I said, I don't think it'll ever be the same as like the first game that we saw last season. But, hey, you never know. You absolutely never know. I suppose the league is a little bit different. As I say, when you're playing a cup tie, it's a one-off. You know that, like, it really, the winner obviously goes through to the next round. So I think in one-off affairs, probably suited Manchester United a little bit better maybe than what it did Liverpool. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the league game. But as Sammy says, when these two like giants and juggernauts come together, it's always a tough game to call, and there's not a lot between the two sides. Yes, like the last couple of seasons, we've had, a 7-0 and a 5-0 or something like that. But that's the exception. That's not normally the rule. And I would imagine it'll still be a equally tough game when we go back to like Old Trafford in the league.
Yeah, it's a bit of a break now, isn't there? But there's obviously still, you know, goals for Liverpool to aim for.
The
dream has just been slightly cracked in the sense of going out of the FA Cup, because it seemed very achievable.
Well, with this team, everything's achievable.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we're so devastated. But listen, I keep on saying, you know, it's an old cliche, it's football. We've got to pick ourselves up now. There's no rest for these boys, because the majority of them are going to go away in international duty. Yes, we don't have the Premier League, but I think it's a case now of them getting away. Hopefully they come back without any injuries. You know, we can refill the tank and then we go again in the next game. And it's Brighton, is it? Yeah,
Brighton, yeah.
You know, I think, which is going to be an important game again. But I think we have to lick our wounds, dust ourselves down. And then, obviously, they're all going to go away now. When we get them back, make sure they come back, hopefully fit and then ready to face this last little stretch now to go and take us into the final in Europe and hopefully big things in the Premier League.
Hello there. Just a quick break in today's show to remind you there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts from. It's where you'll hear current and former players talking about their lives off the pitch and career on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car sharing stories with his brother, Unmissable. Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, emotional. How Curtis Jones celebrated, yes, that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, superb moment. Why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax, and loads more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now, and make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's show. Welcome back to The Reaction. We can get the thoughts of the boss now. Here's what Jurgen Klopp had to say to the media in his post-match press conference.
It's obviously the day was on and above the edge. It was really tough for us with all the with the 130 whatever minutes. United had a clear best start. It was obvious. He scored a goal, early goal. We had to organize ourselves a little bit better. We struggled with the man marking, didn't play enough, all these kind of things. In the moment, I was really happy. In the moment, when we the first, that's in a moment like that, when we found the first way, that the first time a way to play, then it's then we get rhythm, and then it looked really good, and we were absolutely deserved 2-1 up. And second half was exceptional, absolutely exceptional what we played here. But we didn't finish the game off, and when you leave the door open away from home at Old Trafford, it's clear that they will get chances, and they could score the equaliser. And was Marcus big chance at the end of normal time, so they can win it there. I see that, it's clear. And then it got really hard for us, and then it was really hard for us. That was now the first time that I really saw my team like really struggling. That's how it is. We played a lot of football recently. And then we will go 3-2 up. All good, and then they score 3-3, 4-3. Come on, yeah, I easily can accept that. Congratulations to United. They fought extremely hard as well. That's how it is. You want to go to the semi-finals. I think everybody who saw the game today saw two teams who both understood the importance of the occasion and the competition. We tried absolutely everything. Today we didn't get a lot for it, not to say nothing. So now the boys have to recover. It's really tough. They fly now all around the world pretty much, and in 5-6 days' time they play the first of two games. So let's really hope and pray that they come all back healthy, and then we will start the rest of the season. So many good things I saw them today. But I mean, I think that the mood today, when you think about the channel the game without being Liverpool or United, you think, okay, that was quite some football, and that's exactly how it should be. And that I'm happy with that part, not with the results, obviously.
Yeah, does a game like that, the emotion, the intensity of it, the kind of draining nature of it, is that why you're leaving? Or is that something that drags you in, that's part of the addiction of being a manager?
Neither nor. Nothing to do with that. But you should watch me. If you see me watching football for a team I like, I'm quite emotional as well, so you can have that as well without being in the dugout. Didn't think about that. It's other things. We can talk about my situation as often as you want. I cannot just not change my answers, to be honest. No. Not do with it.
Imagine when you stood on the sideline.
Yeah, it's look, when you're winning, that's a great position to watch a game. When you're losing, it's pretty much the worst. You stand there, so that's how it is. It's all fine. I had that all often enough. I don't know exactly how many games I had now as a manager, but I had it quite a few times, so that's all fine. It's nothing to do with that. And if we win a game, then I want to stay manager. If we lose a game, I don't want to stay manager. If the atmosphere is great, I want to be a manager. If the atmosphere is not good, I want to leave. It's a general decision about something which has nothing to do with these little moments or whatever. So, I'm really sorry if I cannot explain it properly enough. Maybe I have to say it in German and you can all translate it. I'm not sure that will be better, by the way, the translation. But it's nobody has to worry about anything, but it's not nothing. It's not that I say, oh my God, that's so great. I love absolutely everything about the things I do. But I need to be on my top game to do it like I do it. If I feel I'm not there, then I'm not the right. Then I'm not the manager I have to be anymore, and that's how it is. And then you are not only a little bit worse, then you're immediately properly worse and bad, and then you're in the wrong place. And that's if you can see that early, you make a decision early. That's mm-hmm. what I did.
Yeah, you said that you saw the team struggle for the first time.
Physically, it's just you. The problem is we didn't even know who to take off. So like it was for a while, it was all right. In 90 minutes, it would have been everything fine. But then with extra time, it was like options were now not. We can talk now. We bring the kids out. We all said that all the time. We have to bring in the right moment. Yeah, fantastic, but it's not. It was the right moment. So you just saw we could have. Okay, Makar definitely, but I would definitely, Darwin definitely, Lucho we did then. Yeah, it was just Joey and whatever. You play all the time, the boys. That's how it is. And today is extra time. But So like we say, if you lose, then lose in normal time, but not extra time and losing then, obviously, and that late, that's obviously close to get the penalty shootout, because that would have obviously been the same intensity if we don't concede the last two goals. But the way we conceded the last two goals, you can see as well. That was obviously, we are not on top of our game anymore. Gave two balls away. Absolutely no criticism about that. The boys, I saw a team who understood the importance of the game and gave absolutely everything, and today it was not enough, and that's what we have to accept now.
Jürgen, can I just check, how confident are you though that your players can recover? I know there's the physical side of it, but there'll be a mental drain after an experience like that, won't there?
No. Wow, they lose a semi-final in the quarter-final in the FA Cup, and there was a mental drain. Yeah, that would be really difficult if we have to deal with human beings like that. We play football for ages, and you lose games if that leads always to a mental state or situation where you need help. It's just a normal thing. You all fail on a daily basis, maybe even without recognizing, and we just get along with it. And today, if you don't give all, then it's not mentally, but then you have to direct on that. But the rest is, we are used, unfortunately, since we were kids, that from time to time we lose a football game. So, and I got that question already before, if what kind of reaction I expect now. Yeah, nothing. They go to their countries, I hope they come back and have nothing. And then we think about Brighton when they come back, and we know who can play again. And that will be tricky enough, all these kind of things. But in general, the team is in an outstanding situation in a moment. We got through all these different and difficult situations, absolutely exceptional. For today, we could have won the game and we would have deserved it, but we lost it, and Man United deserves it as well. That's the situation.
That's why he's the top man. You know, gives all the praise to his players. He realises the effort that he put in. Mm. We mentioned about decision-making. You can't get angry about that. As he said, you can point out when they come back. Can't do it now because they're going away international duty. But that's why he's the top manager. He realises the effort that his lads, his boys, gave him everything. You know, that's all you can ever ask as a coach, is for my players to give us as much as they can. They gave everything they could for him, for the football club, and for the 9,000 fans that were there, and all Liverpool fans globally. That's why I repeat, that's why he's the top guy.
I mean, he says it how it is, doesn't he? Very honest. Yeah, so many chances to kill that game off, Gary.
Well, I think in many ways he echoes like the statements like we've actually said here and like discussed here after the game. And, you know, he's stood there watching the game as much as what we are sitting watching the game as well, doing commentary or just watching the game. But sometimes it's difficult to see that when you're wrapped up in all that emotion. But he sees it exactly how we see it, and that's football. He's been in the game long enough to know that, you know, on another day, in another right game, Liverpool make the right decisions in the right areas of the pitch, and you win the game comfortably. But that wasn't to be. But the one thing is, like as Sammy rightly says, the one thing that you've got to expect from your players is 100%, 110% effort. And he gets that week in, week out from everybody in the squad, not just the starting 11, but from everybody that's involved in the game.
You're so right when he echoed a lot of what you'd said. This is the reality of where we are as a squad.
Yeah, because the pride today, we're going for on all four fronts. You know, and again, he also said, you know, we play them again in a few weeks, it'll be different then for a number of reasons. We'll know a bit more about them then. But to echo what we said before, very true what you said. You know, he's in the intensity, he's in the moment, you know, and it's very easy to be blinkered, very easy to come out and talk in cliches. He doesn't. He tells us how it is, how we've seen it from afar, you know, and that's, again, I make no apology for eulogising about the guy, because that's why he is the top man. You know, because he doesn't come out, he doesn't make excuses, he tells us how it is. And that's what you can ever ask from a manager in a post-match press conference.
And of course it's impossible for them to address it straight away with the players because, and we've all seen it, they finish the game and before you know it they've been whisked off into taxis, aren't they? They've got their bags ready to go on ridiculous long journeys. So
yeah.
It's not the time or place right now for Jürgen to be talking with them individually.
Well, the thing is that there's not really a great deal to address. This is a top quality squad with top quality individuals within like the team. As I said before, we've got to go there again in the league. Now, whether the same Man United turns up in the league game remains to be seen. But in different circumstances and other situations that we got ourselves into in this game, had we made the right decision? And he'll sit down with everybody involved and like direct it through, like whether it's like on the big screen or whether it's on like a little iPad or whatever. I'm sure like they'll look at it and say, had you made this decision, then this might have come off it. I don't think you can actually go and say, like, you know, had you made this decision, we would have scored, because like that's almost impossible. But had you made this decision, a different outcome might have like arose.
And as someone who made the mistake of instant reaction immediately post-game, I made the mistake on many, many occasions. I have to say to you, nothing good comes from that. You know, nothing good, honestly, because you're emotionally on a high. They are. You get a, you know, adverse reaction. And again, I repeat, as someone who's done that on many occasions, I fully respect the fact the way he comes out and does it. Honestly, that's...
What are you saying, Sam? You could have done it differently.
Yeah. No, I would have done it differently. I would have done it differently for sure, yes. Yeah.
He did, of course, mention, and we said it as well, we just want them back healthy from this international break. Yeah. And having been in sort of Premier League management, Sammy, yourself, I would imagine there's nothing worse, is there, when you get that call about a player
who's
a long way away, who's injured himself, who's sort of central to your plans. Yeah.
And I've been on both sides of that as well, Steve, as you know. So all you can try and do is keep in constant touch with the international teams when they go away. I'm sure they are anyway, because that's the way the modern day is, with the report on the intensity of the sessions.
You get a regular feedback?
Well, you should do. That's what you try to do. You try to garnish a relationship whereby, because at the end of the day, as an international team, you're only borrowing the players. So it suits everybody. It benefits everybody to have an interaction, and again, for them to give some sort of information of what our player's going there, he's in these zones, you know, maybe, you know, tone is training down, what have you, and then you'll get the feedback of the intensity of their training sessions. And once you've got that interaction, then it helps everybody, because everybody likes to play international football, you know, but as a club manager, as a club coach, you just want them to come back fit and as healthy as they can.
That's an interesting insight, isn't it? I don't know whether you knew that. I wasn't aware there was sort of contact. I always used to think if the country took the player and that was it, we'll shut the door and deal with it ourselves.
Some do, Steve. Some do. Yeah. You know, but I think, you know, the Monday, the better ones keep you informed.
Right.
You're aware of the intensity of each session if you've got the right interaction.
OK. And, of course, Liverpool with lots of international players that are going to go away. Gary, we've had enough injuries this season, haven't we?
Well, I think every club can point to having injuries throughout the course of the season, but Liverpool in particular, I think I've had an awful lot to big-name players as well. Hopefully, we're gradually maybe getting them back. Yeah. I think there was mention of Jota maybe coming back, Curtis Jones maybe coming back after the international break. So that'll be interesting to see, because now, after the international break, come Easter, that's the big run-in. That's the big test. That's when it really, you've got to be on your mettle. And games come fast and furious, but they mean ever so much more now, because obviously you're getting to that stage of the season where it really comes down to like winning matches and like getting yourself in the position where you can, hopefully, we can regain that Premier League title.
Now, it's international break time, and time for us to look at where we are ahead of the sprint to the finish line. So, it is a three-horse race at the moment.
You'd go course and distance, wouldn't you, with Manchester City, because they've obviously been there before. Arsenal are a little bit of the unknown. Can they keep it up? They didn't last season. They kind of blew up. I think they're a little bit stronger, a little bit better.
Did they learn from that?
Yeah, probably. I think they will have. But I still think it's Liverpool and Manchester City that will be the two that will be like first and second come the end of the season in May time. I've said it all along that I think Arsenal push them all the way, but I think Manchester City and Liverpool will pull away come towards the end of the season. I think it will be between these two for the title.
OK, what about you, Sammy?
Well, I think it'll be the three of them, to be honest with you. I think because Arsenal have learned from last year. I think the managers learned from last year. You know, and again, I think I see them both of them being a danger. But again, put my coach's hat on. And again, coaches speak, we've just got to be concerned with ourselves, you know. I think we're going to have to lick our wounds after today. We're going to have to regenerate after today when you get back. And the final push, we've still got Europe, we've still got this. And all we can do is control what we can control. Mm. Whatever goes on there, any other ground, that's up to them. But I know full well that Jürgen and his staff will be totally focused on what we do in the coming weeks. And that'll be good enough for me.
We've seen everything in the Premier League, but I don't think we've seen a final day with three of them still involved. That might be an interesting one.
Well, I think when you look at the quality like the three squads possess, they're up there like with the best teams, aren't they? I mean, it's simply been sensational. Yeah. The way Arsenal have played since the turn of the year has been nothing short of fantastic. I mean, like, they've been banging in goals for fun. I think before that they had an awful lot of possession in games and didn't really do an awful lot with it. But it seems as if they've turned the corner with that, and like they are getting the results and like putting teams to bed quite comfortably. I've lost count how many times that they've scored four or five. Yeah. I think they've got the best goals for, haven't they, like in the Premier League. So yeah, they could be up there. I just have the feeling that with Champions League as well, I think that might take a little bit of a hit on Arsenal. The fact that they've not been in that position for a number of years. And the position that they find themselves in is now is a big opportunity to do well in that competition as well. They might just take their eye off the ball a little bit. And whether their squad is as strong as what the other twos are, I'm not 100% sure.
And maybe throw this one in the pot as well. If City and Arsenal do manage to get through in the Champions League and end up facing each other, my, that really might take eyes off the ball. You never know.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. You know, that's what we're hoping. But I'd have to say to you, you know the way our guys are, you know the way their guys are. They've got momentum, you know, and we had momentum until today. So we want to regain that momentum again. Everyone wants to be in every competition. Yeah, we're a little bit deflated today. I'm not looking for reasons why they're going to lose it. We're going to win it.
We should be, Sammy.
I'll tell you the reason why I think we're going to win it, because for the simple reason is that I know full well that Jürgen will get his guys back, be fully regenerated and totally focused on what they can control. Every competition that they're going to be in from now to the end of the season, total focus. And we've seen it before. Jürgen has this ability and his coaching staff to galvanise them, getting them ready for this run-in. In this league, there are no easy games. Mm. They really aren't for the three teams involved there, going right to the wire. Right to the wire, you'll see them. Everything, every game has its own degree of difficulty for different reasons.
At this stage of the season, there's so much resting on the outcome of like every game that it's so hard to predict who'll be at their best and playing their best. I mean, like, you know, Sheffield United could turn up and like cause you problems. That's the nature of the league.
It's what the Premier League throws up, isn't it?
Very much so, Steve. And again, I may sound, you know, I'm just trying to be realistic. There are no easy games there. And I know full well that that's the way Jürgen and his coaching staff will be approaching it. He said during the week when you were playing against the team, he said, if you have a look at the table, that's when it becomes a banana skin. Mm. Don't look at the table, look at the fact that it's the next game. You know, every game, believe you me, every game has its own degree of difficulty. And they know that. Every team has strengths, every team has weaknesses. And one thing that Jürgen and his staff will be focusing on is our strengths and trying to capitalise upon their weaknesses. But he will not underestimate one of them nine games that we've got left, plus the European games. Trust me on that.
It's been a fascinating ride this season, hasn't it? I mean, just in terms of the injuries, the youngsters coming in. You know, obviously, if we looked at the game today, Jarrell Kwanzaa was
immense.
Standout, wasn't he?
Immense.
Out of this world. Just one of many youngsters that's made an impact. If we just have a word about his performance today and how far we think he's come, Gary, because you'd obviously understand the pressures that he would be under in that position.
Well, to come in at such a young age and play with the maturity that he's played with and the confidence and belief in his own ability is absolutely outstanding. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen it before. Now, he seems to me to be a level-headed young lad. I think the guys that are around about him with the senior pros will keep him that way. And he's got a massive future ahead of him. When you think that, like, Joe Matip, we've not seen, obviously, at the beginning of the season, it was Joe Matip and, like, Virgil van Dijk, probably nailed on for, like, the partnership. And then Kanati was always going to come in there in some stage of the season. And then, all of a sudden, these two get injured. They pluck a young lad out of like academy football. He'd been on loan to, was it Bristol City or Bristol Rovers, that hadn't really like pulled up any trees at Bristol City. Throw him into like the mix, and then all of a sudden he looks like a world beater. And as I say, I've not seen that happen really too much in my lifetime, and certainly in my football career. But outstanding prospect, outstanding.
And we shouldn't underestimate the effect that Virgil has alongside these players. I mean, I have to say, he's back to his best without a shadow of a doubt, and he's raised everybody's game to a different level, you know. And it must be fantastic for these youngsters to play alongside him. Just look at the way he's coaching and talking them and manoeuvring them into positions. Not when they've got the ball, but when the ball's down the other end of the pitch, he's organising them, ready for any quick counter attack. Fantastic for any young boy to play alongside Virgil van Dijk.
And of course, the opportunities, you mentioned it there, Gary. I mean, he probably doesn't expect opportunities this season, does he?
When you look at Jarrell Kwanza and Conor Bradley, Conor Bradley has got probably the best, arguably the best right fullback in world football ahead of him, and Trent Alexander-Arnold. So he's looking at that and thinking, like, how can I get a starting game in like the starting 11? He gets his opportunity. What does he do? He grabs it with both hands. Yeah. He's been absolutely outstanding. And again, it's the confidence and belief to do things that, you know, a 27-year-old would like feel a little bit like adverse at doing. But he's got that confidence and belief in his own ability to do that. It absolutely astounds me how they can do that, just coming out of like reserve team football or like going on loan to Bolton or playing in the academy, and be that confident in possession of the football. And so many difficult situations. I mean, that game there today was as high intensity game as you can get. And young Jarrell Kwanza, well, he just he dealt with it like, you know, as if it was like a Sunday stroll down the local pitch. Incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
Certainly. So Liverpool are hopeful of getting some fresh legs back, of course, in the next few weeks. You mentioned it before. Obviously, we miss big players at big times. Obviously, you know, Trent being out, Jota being out, Alisson still out as well. We're missing sort of key elements of the team. They have been filled in okay, but we could get some fresh legs for the run, and that would make a big difference.
That always helps. I don't mean to put you off, but they filled in more than okay. The guys who stepped into their place have done fantastic. But I take your points. But, you know, it's always nice to have a full squad, because, once again, when you have strength and depth, you always gauge football clubs by the bench. You can turn to their bench. If you see the strength and the depth of squad that we have on the bench, that tells you how good the whole squad is. So fantastic to get these boys back, and once again it'll put competition on the players who are there. And every football club thrives on competition. Every football club in every position in every department thrives on competition. Best to have them all there, and then hopefully Jürgen will have his own problem then to decide which 11 he wants to start with. But that's why he's the main man.
Would another manager have got the sort of level of performance and results out of the youngsters that
I don't think
Liverpool
so,
have use this season?
As I was about to say before, a lot of credit should be placed on the shoulders of the people at the academy, you know, who've got these guys coming through. But once again, forgive me, guys, across here, I just tend to think all credit should be placed on Jürgen. Yeah, a lot of it's been forced because of injuries, but he gives them the confidence you're talking about before. He gives them the freedom to go and express themselves, which, as a young player, that's all you want. People to have faith in you, trust in you, and give you the ability and the opportunity to go and perform at the highest level.
But ultimately, it's coming from Jürgen, this, is it?
Yeah, well, a little bit, obviously, the academy, like, staff have, like, worked with these youngsters, like, throughout, like, the course of their early and young career. So they've been put in, like, a window where, like, the manager has a look at them. And I don't think too many people would at the start of the season would have said Jarrell Kwanza would have been a regular starter in our first team. And the performance he's put in. And the same goes for Conor Bradley as well. But ultimately, it's the manager that gives them the confidence and belief in their own ability. But in saying that, it's down to the individual. How many times have we seen young players come through the academy and the manager's given them a chance to play and maybe like played maybe one or two games, and then we've never really seen them again? These kids are like different. We'll see quite a bit of these. They're here for like the future.
And that's it from The Reaction. My thanks to Gary and Sammy for their analysis. Thanks to the international break. We're not back until the 31st of March, when we'll be reflecting on our hugely important Premier League clash with Brighton. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts from to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. We'll see you next time.